I have to end a few minutes early tonight. I have to be somewhere still before it gets too late. We're going to begin the Midah of Keser. Just let's take a few minutes to finish. Just a few minutes to finish. I'm not even going to do both of the Maariv Mekaymes, but on the page that you have from last week, on the second side, page 2, and there are two pieces from Rav Kook and one from Rav Yaakov Moshe. It says on it, Oris HaKadosh, Chelek Aleph from Kuf Pei Hei, in the middle of the page. You have that? Remember, we're talking about Derech Hishtalshlus, Lamalim Derech Hishtalshlus. I don't feel that I could move a week ago together into the Midah of Keser without doing at least the piece in the middle of the page from Rav Kook and Mitzvah. Right after that, we'll begin tonight with the Midah of Keser. So in the middle of the page, which says two on top, Oris HaKadosh Chelek Aleph Amud Kuf Pei Hei from Rav Kook. Now you remember that last week we saw the Rambam and Mori Nevuchim, and we were talking about the appearance in a person's life of Giluyim of Elokus that seem to come from beyond any Seder of the Hishtalshlus, any Seder that follows that path leading from Rotzen, Chachma, Bina, Das, and so on to the emotions. Just something that comes in a way that appears to be me'eva, beyond the normal Seder of the Hishtalshlus. So we learned a little bit from the Oris HaTshuva, right? That there's a tshuva that's called tshuva pis'omis, where suddenly the person just feels like, my life, I can't live this way anymore. I can't live this way. And Rav Kook says it's a mystery to try to understand where this comes from. That's what we're learning. Where does this come from? So let's just see this last piece, and all of this is a hakdama to what we're going to begin with Shem tonight. Hazaharuris ha'elyoina shel ha'neshama. I don't know how to translate that. Zaharuris. I can tell you what the word means, and you will note that the word Zohar means shining brilliance. Rav Kook makes up words. That he has his own lashon. But huh? The light, the shining light. Hazaharuris ha'elyoina shel ha'neshama. That bright, powerful, blinding light of the soul, of the neshama, who ha'nechmad mikol ha'chaim, is the sweetest thing in all of life. Afa pi she'ein onu mevinim klal, es asichais hanoivais betochius ha'neshama, me'or hazoharius, hazoharuris, even though we don't understand intellectually those conversations that flow forth from the soul, from that light of the soul. Even though we can't make any sense or any order out of these feelings, these thoughts, hamivakim, that break through suddenly from the neshama itself. The yoytzim k'or ha'yotzim v'ben ha'charosim, that comes like a light, a flash of light from between the shards, the pieces. V'chol zos ha'nefesh mismaleis sofa, but we do know this, that suddenly in a moment it's possible for a person to feel that his soul is filled with satisfaction, with sova, satiated. When the divus ruach pnimis, and there's a tremendous feeling of deep satisfaction. The divus ruach. Davka mi eila habrokim, acholfim v'oivim kol kach maher. Davka from these flashes of lightning, of the soul, that come and go so quickly. Ad she'iev shakla lamar alofim, it's impossible to understand them. But it's a part of life. And it's the sweetest part of life. Ki bahem, because when that happens to a person, when a person comes into contact with that flash of light of the self, of the essence, again, going back to the very first shiur, a little bit of a taste of that wine, a little bit to hear a note of that niggun, of the song, then mezgala raz chayim el yayim. Then suddenly there's revealed inside of you the secret of a higher life. There's something bigger than what you're in. There's something bigger than the life that you're just living. There's something bigger. Shekol ha'omel ha'sichli, no matter what intellectual effort a person makes, all kol ha'omel ha'sichli, kol sidrei avoda, and whatever avoda a person engages in, chukim, mishpatim, all the mitzvahs, whatever, dinim, b'halachas, that a person observes, imke higayin, all the deep thoughts, v'adrochas ha'gyonis, and all the guidance, rak, all of the good things that a person can have, any good thing that a person can have, it's only mitzel tzelam shel ziv habrokim hagdolim alalo. It's only this, a little bit of a taste, a little bit of, like the shadow, of the light, of these brokim hagdolim alalo, these powerful moments of connecting to the etzem haneshama. This is the meaning of something that comes shaloi. Doesn't follow the order of something that you worked out, that you thought about, and that you were able to focus on in order to be able to draw into your emotions. It just comes from that place of the self. It's only anything that a person has, whatever one can experience, all of the seichel, all of the intellectual omal, the effort that he puts in, and all of his avoid, and all of his Torah mitzvahs, all of the dinim, all the halachas, all of the deep thinking that he has about Yiddishkeit, and Avodas Hashem, all the hadrach, whatever it is, it's only any inspiration that the person has, it's a little bit of a shadow, just a shadow of that light as it flashes, as it passes through the mind and heart of a Jew. And Yishavu is Ruach Hayayim. They draw their life from that moment of light. Whatever a person has in his Avodas Hashem, in his Yiddishkeit, is only drawing something from the Ruach, is only drawing something from that light that the person was able to experience even for a moment. It's just to see the Lashon of Rav Kook. Okay, we're beginning now to talk about Kesser. Everything has been leading up to this, and that's why you're going to be hearing some things that are a little bit familiar. Of course, Kesser is the hardest of the midas to talk about because it can't be described. But nevertheless, we have Torah. Torah, he, a little more than Nachnu Tzrichim, what the Torah is that we have in the Svarim HaKadoshim. The Medrash Tanchuma in Parshas Noso, I think all of you are familiar with. Anybody that ever spoke to a Lubavitcher for more than 5 minutes certainly knows this. Nisav HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Li Yisla Yisbarach Dir B'sach Taino. Nisav Lo, Chazal say in the Tanchum and Parshas Nosa, Nisav Lo Yisbarach, the Baruch Shalom has a taiva. It's a very strong word. Nisav HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Li Yisla Yisbarach Dir B'sach Taino. Hashem's taiva is, his desire is, to have a dira to dwell here in this world, for the Shechina to be able to fill this world, to fill it completely. With this Chazal are speaking kivyochel about Hashem having a taiva, a rotzen. Chazal did not say, they could have very easily said a loshen along the lines of Shia b'chachmas shetoyv hadover liyos lo dir b'sachton. It could have said that Hashem, in His infinite mind, understood or decided that it's good to have a dwelling place in this world. That's not what Chazal say. Chazal say very clearly, nisav. Nisav is a taiva. Nisav. The meaning of taiva is ratzon. His will, his desire, nisave. They didn't say that HaKadosh Baruch Hu shir b'chachmasa shetov lios lo dir b'sachtonim. That Hashem in His infinite mind decided that the right thing to do was to be in this world, the Shekhinah. Doesn't say that. It says, Nis'avaloi. The Rebbeinu Shlomo had a rotzen, had a taiva. Rotzen and taiva transcends chochma and bina. It transcends intellectual, rational understanding. It means that when we say those words, Nis'ava HaKadosh Baruch Hu, means that we're talking about a rotzen that comes from the atzmus of Hashem Himself, from God Himself, from the essence kivyochel of the Creator Himself. There's a rotzen, there's a taiva. We can't understand it, but there's a rotzen and there's a taiva. Now put that on hold. Kesa, the crown of a king, is a garment that is different from all other garments of the king. It's referred to in this form as levush kloli umakif. It's a general levush, and it's makif, it surrounds. It's makif. As HaMelech, the king. As opposed to all the other garments of the king, that the other garments of the king are levushim pratiyim. This covers his arms, he has gloves, whatever, he has boots, he has pants, he has a shirt. Each of the other levushim, all the levushim of the king, all the garments of the king, are covering particular parts of the king. Keser is different. The crown is different. The keser is on top of the king's head, meaning it's the crown of the king. It is not a garment that's worn by a particular part of the king. It's the garment that envelops the king in his entirety. That's the greatness of the crown. That's the chashivas of the keser. And therefore the or, the light of keser, is an or kloli umakif. We're going to talk a lot about what that means. It's an or kloli, an inclusive, general, or light, umakif, that surrounds. It's not an or mugdar, that has specific, clear boundaries, or can be defined in a specific and clear way. Just like the crown does not connect to a particular part of the body. It's not a levush for any part of the body. It's the levush hamalchus. It's the crown of the king. The question is, remember, we're not here to learn Kabbalah. We're here to learn the Kaychas and Nefesh, to try to understand. But we know that if there is something kivyochel by Hashem that's called keser, that's called the crown, that means that there's a midas hanefesh that you and I have within us that's called keser. That's called the crown. That's what we're interested in. We're not interested in the oilimus in the worlds in Kabbalah. We're interested, we might be interested, but that's not for us now. What we're interested in learning now and understanding now is what is keser as far as the nefesh ha'adam? What's keser as far as our personality is concerned? As far as our kaiches? What's keser? What is that crown? So, Aleph. Some of this will be to review. It's clear that all of the koiches hanefesh, all the koiches that we have, chesed, gevurah, tiferes, netzach, hayit, yesod, ma'am, all the koiches that we have are leaving, are coming from one central station. We spoke already about that. all the koichas come from the nefesh itself. And remember that we were trying to understand, we were talking a little bit about this, so what is the nefesh itself? Now the nefesh itself, remember, is something we spoke about, is something that we can't define, but we do know that there are koichas that emerge from the nefesh. The soul has the ability to be expressed, the essence of the soul has the ability to be expressed through particular koichas. And those particular specific koichas are mislabesh in different parts of the body, we'll talk about in a second. And are responsible for particular types of behavior, attitudes, emotions, thoughts in our lives. Therefore, we could summarize and say that in the nefesh there are two components to the soul, generally speaking. There are the koichas that are called koichas protium, specific koichas. They are not the nefesh itself. It's not the soul itself. They are koichas that are mysteriously contained within the soul and are waiting to be drawn out from the soul. These koichas are the ones that we're familiar with. Intellectually, chachma, bina, das. Emotionally, chesed, gevura, and so on. Physically, the ability to see, the ability to hear. These are koichas, the koich of re'iyah. All the koichas, all the physical koichas that we have come from the spheres. The ability to see, the ability to hear, the ability to smell, to touch. All of these koichas, the ability to move, koich atnua. All of these are called koichas HaProtiyim Shel HaNefesh. Again, we need to get some definitions down. Koichas HaProtiyim Shel HaNefesh that are mispashet, they somehow flow out of the soul. It's not the soul itself. They're in the soul. And they are expressed and they're mispashet from within the soul. And they're mislabesh in certain parts of the body and certain kochos, like seeing, tasting, hearing, and so on. Emotions, thoughts. That's one aspect of the soul. The second aspect of the soul is the soul itself. The soul itself is etzem poshut umufshat. Poshut umufshat. It's something which is it itself, as we learned, is not something that can be defined or explained. Now this raw soul itself, the nefesh itself, is waiting. The nefesh itself is waiting and is longing for a koach hamaf'il, for something to be able to activate the latent, hidden koiches that are within the soul, so that these koiches can be activated and drawn out, to be moitzi the koiches. The same way that you go to PTA and the teacher says your kid's got a lot of potential. So you say to the teacher, maybe you could do something about the potential. And the teacher says, maybe you could do something about the potential. And the kid sits there, maybe somebody will do something about my potential. So the kid has in him koiches. But like the Gemara says, like Chazal say, that every blade of grass has a malach, right? And the malach gives it a clap and says, gadel, nu. There needs to be a koach to be maf'il. A koach ha-maf'il. To activate, to liberate the koiches that are there. The word in Hebrew for potential is, of course, koach. That means potential. Mina koach el hapoel. There needs to be something to be maf'il the koiches that are hidden inside the nefesh. The name that is used for the maf'il, for that energy, that mysterious energy that shakes up the nefesh, that causes, that gives the nefesh the ability to unleash what is hidden, the potential that's hidden inside, the chesed, gevurah, tiferes, and so on. That mafil is called rotzen. It's called rotzen, will. It's that koach harotzen that moves the soul, that pushes the soul, that drives the soul to release min ahelam el hagilui, from concealment to revelation. All the koiches that the nefesh has. All the koiches that the nefesh has. Therefore, and this has to be very clear, because if this isn't clear, then everything else is crooked afterwards. Therefore, Rotzen itself is not, Rotzen itself is not a koach within the soul. Rotzen is not a koach shebesoich ha-nefesh. Rotzen, will, desire, taive, and rotzen is not a koach inside the soul, the same way that the crown is not a garment that is worn on the body. But rather, rotzen is that which touches the soul itself. It's not something which is within the soul. It's that which affects the soul, opens up the soul. It's the mafteach of the soul. It's not a koach within the soul, it's the koach of the soul to be able to reveal itself. Therefore, we find a remarkable thing. In Tanakh, the word nefesh means rotzen. It means rotzen. L'moshel, in Yirmiyahu Perek Tesvav Pasuk Aleph, Ein nafshi el ha'am. Ein nafshi el ha'am. So you could translate it, my soul is not with the people. Ein nafshi, if you look in the Mefarshim, Ibn Ezra, the other Mefarshim there, nefesh is a lashon of cheshek, of rotz, meaning I don't have a cheshek for the people. My desire is not with them. Ein nafshi el ha'am. Al titneni benefesh tzara, David Melech says, please Hashem, don't leave me up to the desire of my enemies. Al titneni benefesh tzarai. Benefesh tzarai. If it's translated as the soul of my enemies, it's not accurate. It means rotzen. It means don't leave me vulnerable to the will, to the desire of those who seek to destroy me. Nefesh. Al titneni benefesh tzarai. Now in the parasha, im yesh es nafshecha, nafshecha means if you want, im yesh es nafshecha. And there are many other examples. If you look in the Kakadansa, you'll see there are many examples. The pnimius of the meaning of the word nefesh is rotzen, is desire. This is very, very different from the other koiches hanefesh. Chachma, bina, das, chesed, gevur, teferes, netzach, chayit, yisayit, malchus. Those are koiches of the nefesh. Those are koiches, one second, those are koiches that are contained in a very deep and mysterious way within the nefesh. When the rotzen is poel, when the crown is shining, when keser, when rotzen is active, then the koiches hane'elamim, the hidden koiches of the nefesh, are able to emerge and to be expressed. Through what? Through the koiches hapratim, of this is an act of kindness, this is an act of holding back. And so with all of the midas. So once we understand that Ratzon is a hisgalus of the nefesh itself, it's not a koach of the nefesh, it's the hisgalus of the etzem hanefesh. You follow me, Chaver? It's the hisgalus of the nefesh itself, not one of the koaches in the nefesh. It's hisgalus im yesh es nafshecha. Nafshecha means if you want it, wanting Ratzon. It's not a koach in the nefesh. It's the koach that's mafil. It's the koach that activates, that turns on the lights, that gets everything moving in the nefesh. It's the koach hanefesh atzma. It's the hisgalus hanefesh. When you say im yesh es nafshecha, it means be'emes, do you want this? Do you want this? Therefore, keser cannot be mislabesh in a particular part of the body, in a specific part of the body as opposed to other parts of the body. Keser, by definition, is found in the entirety of the human being. Keser, by definition, is the entirety, mikaf ragloi v'ad roishai, from the bottom of his foot to the top of his head. The same way that the brain is functioning because it has the koach hanefesh, the same koach hanefesh is causing the little toe, the little pinky, to be alive. It's not one of the koiches of a particular eva, my right hand, my left hand. The same way the brain is alive because of the nefesh, so too the little toe is alive because of the nefesh. All of the differences that we have, chesed is dro yamina, chesed is the right hand, vura is the left hand. All of the levushim of the nefesh, all of the koiches of the nefesh, are koiches protium that can be mislabesh in different parts of the body. But Ratzon nefesh is life itself. Therefore, let's say a person wants to think. He has a Ratzon to think. Then at that moment, the Ratzon is mezgala in his brain. It doesn't mean that there's a part of the body called the brain that is the seat of the nefesh. The nefesh is life itself. But when I want to think about something, then the crown, the Ratzon, is misgala, it's revealed, at that moment it's revealed in my brain, and it's pushing my brain, it's being mafil and doichef, the koach hamachshova, that's the koach of Chabad in my head. So at that moment, when I want to think, as I've been sitting around the whole day doing nothing, and now I have this Ratzon to think about my life, about how I'm not doing anything in my life. So I have this Ratzon to think about my life. It doesn't mean that Ratzon, the keser, is a koach in the brain. It doesn't mean that. The same way that chesed is a koach in the right arm, the right side, gvura is the left side. It doesn't mean that. What it means is that at that moment, that I decided, I shouldn't use the word decide. At that moment where I feel a Ratzon to think, I can't explain. Until now, I was just staring out into the. I was staring at the sky. I wasn't thinking about anything. And I'm lying there, you know, on top of a mountain someplace, and I'm looking at the sky. Nothing is doing. Then there's suddenly a Ratzon to think about my life. To start thinking. So I might think, oh, you see, Ratzon is mislabish in the brain. That's not true. Ratzon is not a koach of thinking. That's not true. Chochme, bina, das. Those are koaches of thinking. Ratzon is not. Ratzon is that at this moment I have a taiva, I have a ratzon to think. And because of that, ratzon has activated that koach inside of me that's called Chabad. Depending on how much I'm thinking. Chabad, chachem, bin das. The ratzon to think, ani rotze lachshov. Again, you don't actually have those words in your head. But there's a ratzon to think. You don't know where it came from. For the last 4 hours, I'm just staring out into the sky. But there's something that happens. There's a ratzon to think. And then your brain gets busy. Not because the keser, the midah of keser, is in your brain. The midah of keser, the king wears on top of him, of the head. It's a makif. It's ki'ilu, when the king wears the crown on his head, what it really means is that he's wearing it like, imagine like an iron dome. It's like a dome that surrounds his entire being. When he wants to think, then the koach of the nefesh itself, the rotzen, the imyeshes nafshecha, is mizgala, is revealed in what? In the koach of chachma bin hodav. But in itself is not a koach shebenefesh. It's the nefesh itself, imyeshes nafshecha. Just at this moment, it's at this moment is mizgala in that koach, and it draws out the koach of Chabad from my brain. Let's say I'm lying there and I don't want to think about my life. I don't have such a ratzon to think about my life. I have a ratzon just to get out of here. I'm sick and tired of. I don't want to lie here anymore on this chair on the mountain. I want to go. I want to walk. So then you might say, oh, now I know where Keser is. Keser is in my legs. No, Keser's not in your legs. The legs correspond to which midas? Netzach and Hod. Right? We'll talk about that mitzvah later. Not later tonight, later. Netzach and Hod. The legs are Netzach and Hod. Whatever that means. The koiches that are mislabish in those evarim, in those limbs. In those part, in the right leg and the left leg. The right is Netzach, the left is Hod. So here I am, I'm lying, and I'm just enjoying this day, and all of a sudden I have a ratzon to leave. I have a ratzon to leave. Not to think about leaving. I just get up. I said, not because my mother's calling me or my wife is calling me, not because it's time for mincha. Stop. I get up. So an Amharitz would think, oh, you see, that proves what I've been saying. Keser, the place of Keser, is the legs. And the Keser are the koiches of motion, of movement. To move, to go. So we would say to the Amharitz, you're totally wrong. Keser is the rotzen to move. It's not moving itself. And therefore, it's not mislabish in the legs. It's mizgale. It's revealed in what it draws out the koiches that are called netzach and hod. Rotzen is the maf'il. It is that which activates. It's the rotzen. It's the will. It's the taiva. But the taiva itself is not the koach. The taiva is the yeshes nafshecha. It's the nefesh. But the nefesh itself can't do anything. The nefesh itself can't do anything. Now the rotzen, because of the rotzen, the nefesh can be expressed in a new koach that's called halicha, walking. Walking is netzach and hod. The koach of halicha, the ability to walk. But if we want to know, so where is the crown? What part of the body is? Because with all the other meters, we're going to be talking about the parts of the body. So If we ask, what part of the body, where is the keser? The answer to the question, where is keser, is it's the whole person. It's everywhere. You want to ask me, where is it revealed? I could say right now it's revealed in Netzach and Hod, because I'm walking. I have a ratzon to get out of here. Or I have a ratzon to go somewhere. If you're asking me, where is it revealed? I could say it's revealed in Chabad, because right now, in my mind, I have this ratzon to think about my life. I have this ratzon to think about about George Washington or something. Whatever it is. So it's mezgala, and it draws out, it activates, it lights up the koach of Chabad inside of me. Chochma, Bina, Das, those are koaches protim of the seichel. Chesed, Gevurah, Tiferes, Netzach, Tohen, those are koaches protim, and therefore they are related to particular parts of the body. They're related to, not that there's a thing that's called chesed in Yiraya. We'll talk about that when we get to chesed. But those koaches are mislabesh in particular individual parts of the body. And therefore, they only work in that part of the body. The toe is not thinking. The mind is thinking. So. And the mind is not walking. The feet are walking. Certain the koaches mezgala in that eva. But rotzen, but keser, but will. That's why it's called a makif. A makif, it surrounds, it encompasses, it envelops. It's the entirety of. It's not a piece. It's not a thing. It's not a koach. And that's why the koiches of the nefesh are called pnimium. Pnimium. Koiches and nefesh, the specific koiches and nefesh are called in chassidus, are called pnimium. Because they are expressed, inside. They come from within the nefesh, and they are expressed in the hand, in the leg, in the eyes, in the ears, in the emotions, and so on. Masha enikain keser, rotzen. That's called makif. And because it's a makif, it's the entirety, it's the crown. It's the king himself. That's why everything about the malchus is always the crown. The crown symbolizes the entire malchus. It doesn't symbolize any of the koiches of the king. It doesn't symbolize any of the accomplishments of the king. The crown is the king. There's no such thing as a king without a crown. Of course, this is all strange to us because we didn't grow up, we don't come from a world where there's malchus. But the crown is the king himself. It's the king himself. Without a crown, there's no king. So you can't even talk about a king without a crown. It's not a tchotchke. It's an unbelievable thing, the crown. It's the king himself. Therefore, even in English, they'll say the crown. It means the kingdom. The crown. The crown. That's just a piece of jewelry. What's the crown? No, the crown. The crown is the kingdom. The crown is the kingdom. It's the thing itself. It's not part of, an expression of. It's a makif, it's keser, because it's an expression of the klolius of the malchus itself. Yeah.
Is it also the sum of the raw potential of this person?
Absolutely.
But it's also the activator of that potential?
But that's the same thing. It's the same thing. It's the sum of, because it is able to unleash. That's why it has all of the potential of the person. All of the potential of the person depends on, it all depends on was will, what do you want? What do you want? Don't you know people that have tremendous kaifas, tremendous kishoinas, but nothing ever becomes of them? You know why? If you point to any of the koiches, is the guy smart? Off the chart. Is the guy creative? Off the chart. Is he kind? The nicest guy in the world. But tot garnish, he does nothing. What became of his life? I just had last week, there was a bacher telling me, not from here, it was a bacher that was telling me about his father. His father's like the finest, the kindest, the smartest, the sweetest Jew in the world. Nothing, but it's like nothing. It's Campanosa. That's his father, but he already had a few marriages. Nothing. He has some miserable job for years and years and years. And the kid tells me that he's a brilliant person. In school he was like a mashu, you know. And nothing is adding up. Talk about sum total. Nothing is adding up. So what's he missing? What's he missing? No? What's he missing?
Ratzon.
He's missing the nefesh itself, Hashem Yirachim. He has a soul, but he doesn't have a ratzon, it's kind of cheshek. And because he doesn't have a ratzon, he could be the smartest, the kindest, the best, but nothing comes of it. Nothing. Reb Tzadik Nitzikas HaTzadik writes about the Ovis. And Reb Tzadik says, like we see about the Ovis, he says, of our people, Kol Cheshek Shlomo, not just Avram Yitzchak and Yaakov. Avram is called Esan. Esan Ezrach means, Esan means the powerful one. And Reb Tzadik says that our fathers, the Ushpizen, and the Tzadikim, those who began our nation, they were Muridik Abali Taiva. Tremendous Taiva. We can't be masik the rotzen of these people. Kol Cheshek Shlomo. Cheshek Shlomo. These were people that had the ability to make a churban from the entire world. But they didn't. They built the entire world. But what they all have in common, Reb Tzadik says, Muridika Taiva, Muridika Rotz. Tremendous Rotz. Great people who become great, tremendous Rotz. Tremendous Rotz. Yes. It could be mislabish and pnimius when the person is a stupid taiva for something, whatever. Or it could be a good taiva. And because of this, because Rotzen is a makif, like the crown that is worn around the top, around it circles the head. Because that kol ha'adam. If we find that when a person has a rotzen that is healthy, a person has a rotzen that's healthy, that's alive, that's strong, then everything that he does with a rotzen that's very, very healthy, everything he does with cheshek. Everything's with cheshek. His friendships, cheshek. His marriage, cheshek. His working out, taking care of himself physically, cheshek. At Parnosa, the job that he does, cheshek v'rotz. Cheshek v'rotz. I mean, this is an ideal situation, obviously. The other extreme is when you have a person who, for whatever reason, this could have a lot to do with damage that was done to him by other people, that for whatever reason, harotzen ne'elam. Doesn't have a cheshek. When the rotzen is nelam, that means there's a disconnect between the crown and the koiches hanefesh. And because of that, he might go about doing the things that he has to. He might think about what he needs to for work. He might do stuff, Chesed, Gvura, and so on. But whatever he does with a certain coldness, with a krirus. It's cold. It's not animated. It's not with a chiz. It's not with a cheshek. Everything is a hergel. He does. That's why he prefers to remain in the same job, because he doesn't want something new. Here in the old job, he has a hergel. He knows the boss, he knows this, he knows that, he's familiar, he's got the same address, he knows that. This is what's expected of him. And there's a certain hergel. Their marriages, the whole marriage is just, 30 years ago, 40 years ago, there was a cheshek, there was a rotzen, but now there's just a hergel. The worst thing is when you have one that has, the other one has a rutz, the other one doesn't have a rutz. This is a big problem. When there's one that's chalishing for the other, and is filled with cheshek and rutz, and the other one is tolerating, it's okay. But it's all with the kariris, with the coldness. It's without the crown, it's without the keser. And therefore, everything in that person's life is chitzonius. The davening is chitzonius, the learning is chitzonius. The relationships that he has are all chitzonius relationships. But we need to understand that the sherish of Rotson is not the intellect. The sherish of Rotson is not the intellect. And therefore, very often, as we've been talking about, when things are not beseder ishtalshus, very often the person can have a rutzen, a strong desire, a strong will for something, and he can't explain why, intellectually. I've had a million conversations with young men who have said that they're mishug over some girl, and I say, why? And he goes through 20 things to tell me why this is the worst relationship for him, this will destroy his life if he marries this girl. And he say, but so then what's the inyan? I don't know. But if she leaves me, I'm going to kill her, then I'll kill myself. Better he should kill himself first to make it easier on her family. If she leaves me, I'm not going to live. I say, but what? You just told me all the things that are wrong. Tell me something that you like about her. So usually the only thing that come up is, well, there was a time that she liked me. That was it. Can you tell me something more of the koichas apnimi? No. She's selfish. She's needy. Arrogant. I'm crazy about it. You can't explain. Now, I'm not talking about whether this is emes or sheker. I'm not getting into that. But there's a rotzen. It's not a matter of seichel. And that's why, as we've been learning, that's why the person's response to this is, would be very simple. If you ask him, but tell me, explain to me, why is it that you love this girl? Or why are you chasing after her? The answer is, kach ani rotzeh. Yeshas nafshi. Like with Shechem and Dina. What's our shaykh is Shechem with Dina? Chamor, Shechem, Dina. What does it have, Dina? What are they starting up with Dina? It's in this parish. So it says, Yeshas nafshecha. Nafshecha, nefesh, rotzen. Why are you doing this? One second. Why are you doing this? And I think I've been saying that for a long time. I'm sorry. Kachani rotzeh. That's what I want. So you ask him, why do you want that? So he'll quote you the Shlach Kaddish. The Shlach says, Ein tam l'rotzen. Akasha, why do I want this? Why do I like blue? You ask somebody, like, I don't understand why anybody would like to eat asparagus. I don't understand why anybody would eat asparagus. I see people eating it. I don't understand why they eat it. So you ask him, why? He says, I like asparagus. What does it bother you? He says, it doesn't bother me, but I wanted to say, why do you like asparagus? So Terry says, ain't Tom the Rotzel. I don't know why I have such a top. Why I have an Indian like this. And Rav Kook is telling us that as much as we try to investigate and to try to understand where is that, what is that, that's the kesa, that's the miyeshes nafshecha. It defies, at the end of the day, it defies anything that the mind can understand. When the Shloah says, ein tam l'rotzen, the Shloah is saying, ayin tam l'rotzen. You understand? Ayin. Ayin means, I don't know. It comes from a place that I can't understand. It's higher than Chabad. It comes from something that's called, that again, doesn't mean it's right. We'll talk about that, Mitzvah. But Ein tam l'rotzen means ayin tam l'rotzen. Something is coming from the nekuda atzmis of the nefesh. Now the person could be very unhealthy, and therefore he could want things that are terribly self-destructive. People want that all the time. Most of these love lost guys, or girls, most of the time it's something that's not good. Most of the time, how? Why? Why is there such a thing that's coming? This rotzen for that person. Why? Where does it come from? That's not for now. Doesn't have to be a good thing. I'm sorry, yeah. Oh, okay. So, we're not yet talking about whether the fact that somebody says kach ani rotze, that's not the end of the conversation. Let's say you come home, your parents just spent $150,000 or something for your education, which I don't know, maybe it's only for 6 months, I don't know what it costs. So, and then and you went 4 years or something to college, and you were accepted to the best law schools in America, and your parents say, so your uncle, what did you decide? You decided on which law school you decided on? No, I decided that I'd like to play the guitar in Greenwich Village in the subway. You know, and they'll throw me quarters and stuff. I say, parents and stuff, what are you talking about? He said, what are you talking about? What kind of a life is that? What do you mean, sit in the subway and play the guitar? Yeah. Can you explain? So the kid says, kach ani rotze. Kach, yesh li cheshek. What about law school? What about parnasa? What about getting married and settling down? Ein l'cheshek. Kach ani rotze. So, therefore, that means that's a teretz. That's a teretz. The parents just say, oh, you hear that? You hear that, Sarola? You heard what he said? He said, that's what he wants. Oh, said, we understand. That's okay. Try that on your parents. Kach ani rotze. We're not talking about right or wrong, but it's a very, very unpredictable, powerful thing. But it doesn't have to be right. Yeah.
I'm confused a little bit. This is coming from the Etzem and the Shamna.
Nefesh, yeah.
So
how could it be wrong? Because a person has to have what's called nefesh bri'ah, a healthy nefesh. And we're not going into that at all now. We didn't talk about that at all. A nefesh bri'ah, a healthy nefesh. We're not talking about the Etzem HaNesham. And again, we're not ready yet to go into these distinctions. He doesn't have, a person can have a nefesh that there's something that's been harmed or damaged. And therefore there could be a rotzen that's completely self-destructive. He wants to parachute onto the Cross Bronx. I don't know. There are all kinds of things going on. No, Akasha. So the Torah says, Ani rotze. Kach ani rotze. But if you ask him, explain, give me some reasons. What you're basically asking him is, could you tell me, Al pi Chabad, Al pi Chagaz? Tell me something. Chacham, Abin Adas. Explain to me. Chesed was something. What are you talking about? Kach ata rotze. What do you want? What do you mean? I don't know. The next step that we're going to get to is what's behind the rotzen. Behind the rotzen is anticipated oneg, which we already spoke about a few weeks ago. Of course, oneg is higher than rotzen. Oneg is the shorish of rotzen. We're going to get to that next week. I'm not going to be on Tuesday, Mr. Shimon. Oneg is higher. Oneg is higher than rotzen. Oneg is what is behind rotzen. Therefore, if a person anticipates pleasure from this girl, that could generate a rotzen that will activate all kinds of kaiches and nefesh and guf, even though it's bad, mamish bad. This
the taiva causes the rotzen, or the rotzen of the taiva.
We're going to talk about that next time, Mr. Shah. The word taiva itself, you could hear in the word taiva, it's one of the Chabad Sfarim, I don't remember where. In taiva, there's ani ata, in taiva. Ani va'ata. There's some kind of a taiva, ani va'ata, in a taiva. But the shorish of that, of the rotzen of the taiva, is the tanug that I expect from something. But that's not for now. That's next. The tanug, because we're going to learn, that the Sfarim explained to us that there are different madregas in Keser itself. Oinig and rotzen. They're separate, they're different. Oinig and rotzen. Yeah. We're gonna talk about that, not next, the one after that, about atik and arachant, and different things. But there are different madregas and keser. But oinig and rotzen are separate. Oinig and rotzen are separate. But right now, tonight, is this inning of rotzen. So we're not talking about whether it's good or bad. Because that person's anticipated owner could be coming from a sick place. It could be some child molester, chalila. Sick. But that's the oynig. For whatever reason, he could be, he's messed up by something they did to him. Which unfortunately often happens. And he has such a musig of an oynig. And that's mafil erotz, and then the oynig is behind. That's behind the erotz. That's higher than erotz. So we're going to talk about that, Mitch, and that's for the next time. Okay, we say so. We'll continue. Marv, yeah.
Maybe the mashal of the father with the buffer has potential.